Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It is finally time. As of course, all the games throughout the year of 2025 have been exceptional. Some would say that the expedition to play and split some fiction with your friends have been phenomenal.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
So with that being said, we're going to talk about everything that's going on and, of course, what is going to happen on December 11th, 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And with that being said, as far as Eastern Standard Time, I think it's 8 to 11 p.m. And then the pre-show is 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard. So with that being said, just wanted to give you the actual time zone so you can match it to your own. So if you don't know, the Game Awards is basically the Grammys for gaming. And with this platform covering the entire gaming and music industry, safe to say, I've already covered the entire Grammy nominations, and I covered that November 10th of this year. And going over the Grammy 2026 nominations was definitely one of the more fruitful things I've done on the platform because I was able to speak to a lot of different genres because of my coverage of the entire industry. So this is going to be the same just on the gaming side. So of course, when we dive into the gaming aspect, I'm going to give my own personal sentiments, as you can see on the actual website, and I'm going to be voting. But of course, I want to give you a little overview of the Game Awards so you know when it's happening. So since I already gave you the date, let's just say the Game Awards is happening for the 12th time, and it's hosted and produced by the one and only Jeff Keighley at Peacock Theater Los Angeles. And once again, it's happening December 11th, 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the pre-show is happening 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard. And of course, it's streaming. If you just want to watch it, it's streaming on YouTube, Twitch, Amazon Prime Video, which is a new addition. And of course, I don't know where else it may be streaming. It may be streaming on Twitter, but I'm not sure. But let's just say Twitch, 100%, and YouTube, 100%. And Amazon Prime Video, since it's a new addition, I don't know how that's going to work. But with that being said, we're going to get into a lot of different nominees. If you was wondering, as far as the overview of the nominees, safe to say, Claire Obscure Expedition 33 is running away with the nominations. It was basically setting it up for Expedition 33 to sweep at the Game Awards. Hold up now, because I gotta cut that short, because I don't know about the disrespect on Split Fiction.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
Now, this is a PG stream. Well, if you're watching after the fact, it's a PG podcast. And I'm not going to say I was irate. I'm not going to say I was upset. But just to jump forward a little bit, we have to fast forward. Because when I saw the Game of the Year nominees, you know, a lot of different games on that specific list definitely deserved it, because it's one of the highly competitive years in gaming history as far as the sole year of 2025. Not seeing Split Fiction on that specific Game of the Year nominee list, not gonna lie, man, it hurt my heart.
I know that ain't who I think it is.
I saw the Game Awards out here disrespecting Split Fiction. I said to myself,
I know that ain't who I think.
So over here at the Notorious Mass Effect, let me just, you know, I don't know what type of gratification you're going to get from this, but let me just say, for the Split Fiction devs out there, just know you held a special place in my heart, and I personally thought that you had and you gave me the greatest gaming experience of 2025.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
So anyways, I was pretty upset about that. So I almost got out of character for a second, but I remember this PG, you know what I'm saying? It's a PG podcast. So anyways, with that being said, Claire Obscure Expedition 33 is leading the way with 33 noms. And then, of course, you have Death Stranding 2, which is second up with 8 nominations. And you know that's made by I think it's Kojima. Let me see. I know Kojima Productions is different, right? Well, that's the same. Death Stranding 2. Let me see. Because I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. Okay, that is his name, Kojima. But I forget his full name. Let me just put in game. I got to do a little Mickey research. You know we don't do fake news over here. So, let me see. Hideo Kojima. Okay, yeah, that's probably why I forget it. Because I'm probably definitely butchering. I don't know if it's Hideo. I think it's Hideo Kojima. Anyways, a lot of people joke about the relationship between Kojima and Jeff Keighley. I'm not going to do that because at the end of the day, I did play Death Stranding 2. I played a lot of these games that we're going to get on this list. And this is going to be an extensive coverage. So, you know, get whatever you enjoy as far as snacks, drinks to enjoy long form content. Because we're going to be here for a second breaking down the entire gaming industry. Because it's all in one place as far as the Game Awards. So, with that being said, the jokes about Jeff Keighley and Kojima, I'm not going to make those. I'm just going to say that Death Stranding 2 having 8 nominations, I would have to see where those 8 come in place as far as a specific list when we start voting. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that maybe, just maybe, it didn't deserve 8 nominations. But hey, I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the 8 places that they're on as far as the specific categories. So Ghost of Yote also have 8 nominations. Hades 2 has 6 nominations. Hollow Knight Silksong, which I also played. Well, I play Ghost of Yote 2, and I play Expedition 33. Your boy's a gamer. Nothing too crazy. Hades 2 has 6 nominations. Hollow Knight Silksong has 5, which I'm surprised about that, because that was actually my dark horse as far as one of the better games of the year. And then we have Donkey Kong, Bonanza, and Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 that's next up as far as nominees. I don't know how many they have in total. But anyways, as far as publisher nominations, of course, Sony's leading the way with 19. Kepler is leading with 13. EA is leading with 10. And when you look at that in the grand scheme of things, those are the biggest nominations as a conglomerate as far as a publisher. So with the overview details out of the way and the analytics out of the way, safe to say when we get into the voting aspect, which we're about to do right now, it's just going to be more of me giving my personal opinion aside from the actual analytical deep dive. So if you was wanting to see that specifically, I would probably pinpoint certain segments that I talked about these specific games. But, well, any of these games, if I say I covered it, then you could just type in that game, Analytic Dreams with a Z, and my coverage of that, as far as my deep dive of that specific game, will pop up. So anyways, with that being said, as you can see, 20 days until the live show. Clap it up for being early as far as the voting process. In the gaming world and in the real world, your boy Dreams is always out here voting and using his vote. Because, of course, you know, voting matters. Anyways, with that being said, let's get into it right now. So, when I first did this, I'm not going to lie, I was going to do this like 3 days ago. But the entire website was crashed. That brings me to another point. Because for the live stream audience, I said a specific joke. But I'm not going to say it again because, of course, you know, I don't want to get banned from, you know, future attendance to the Game Awards, but it was a pretty funny joke, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to save Jeff Keighley. I just want to pull up his own tweet if I can find it. Here we go. Oh, I actually spelled his name right. You know, Jeff is, I don't think I've ever seen Jeff spelled like that. You know what I'm saying? But hey, you know, I spelled it right. Anyways, here we go. Yeah, so about 3 days ago. Which is funny because it's, what, November 21st of 2019, 18. So, yeah, about around this time, I was having problems bringing up the website, right? It just kept crashing. Like, you see this screen right now? It just kept showing the loading screen. I was thinking to myself, hold up now. Now, I know my PC ain't out of date. Actually, it's pretty up to date. But, you know, I ain't really trying to brag.
Shepard.
You know, no, it's my fault. You know, I ain't trying to brag. I'm just saying my PC pretty up to date. I was like, how in the world is this website not loading? And I came to realize everybody was having this issue. By everybody, I mean everybody. So if you look at this right here, and as you can see, Jeff Keighley himself said, "Hi everyone, comma, it's Jeff, period. We've seen truly unprecedented levels of global voting activity for the Game Awards this year." Clap it up for that. Tens of millions of votes in the first 24 hours alone. Goodness gracious, he flexing on y'all. I know some of you have experienced errors. I'm a part of those someones. And lag while voting. And I want to apologize.
You guys.
Our web team has been working around the clock with our partners at Google. Oh, goodness. Oh, hold up now.
Woot-dee-doo.
Nah, he's snitching.
Woot-dee-doo.
Why he say that? Nah, hold up now, Jeff Keighley. I know what you're trying to do. You like, I know y'all having errors on our website, but the people we partnered with.
Woot-dee-doo.
You know what I'm saying? The people we partnered with.
Woot-dee-doo.
You know what I mean? We're working with them to get the website back up. It's almost like he's trying to throw them under the bus. But hey, you know what I mean? That's just me being a little messy. So anyways, he said, we've been working around the clock with our partners at Google Cloud and with East Dakota. Goodness gracious, this man snitching. And the team at Cloudflare. Just, hey, we all caught. Everybody come out. Hey, everybody. Everybody come out. You and you who was helping work on the website that's crashed while everybody trying to vote for the Game Awards, you come out. I'm going to at you and tell them to go directly to you on why that website not working. So anyways, after Jeff Keighley stopped snitching, you know, after he would well, not stop, he after he finished getting all of his snitching out, no McDonald's in sight, he basically said, a quick reminder, there's no rush to vote. You have until December 10th to lock in your picks. I'll keep you updated as we continue to improve performance. Thank you from all of us for your passion, patience, and support for the Game Awards. Shout out to him, man. Shout out to him.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn.
Because I look at this, I'm not going to lie. As soon as he said there's no rush to vote, I was like, I don't think Jeff Keighley could ever be a politician. Who in the world will ever say that? But, you know, at the end of the day, it's the gaming industry. So, of course, he could say stuff like that. So, since there was no rush to vote, I waited. I would have done this like 3-4 days earlier, but the website kept crashing on me. So, but that's a soliloquy out of the way. Let's get into the voting process. As with this entire list, I love the way they have it. Like, I got the sign in. You see my little symbol in there. Oh, you can't even see my symbol. Hold up. Try to be a W Tech guy right quick so yeah, I can see my little symbol. I even signed in. As you can see in the top right, your boy signed in. So now, I guess it saves or whatever. I remember doing this before. So the overall optimization of the website, what wasn't the greatest? I was trying to bring my QR code back up. Why did I bring that away? Now I know it'd be taking me a minute. You know I'm 25 going on 82. There we go. So anyways, as far as that, I'm actually signed in, so these will save to my profile. So why I wanted to tell y'all that, I have no idea. But game of the year, we're probably not going to start with that. I did want to start with, let's see, view all categories. We have to start right off the bat with game of the year. I don't know if I want to do that. Can I go backwards? I should be able to go backwards, right? That should work. You know, we got build up to suspense. You know what I'm saying? So best esports team, you know, as far as esports, I have no idea what's going on in this lane. So safe to say, yeah, if I don't know about a category, we're just going to skip it. Because if you look at Gen.G, NRG, Team Falcons, Team Liquid, Team Vitality, I feel like the significant other that be watching their partner, who they're, if they're like really into sports or whatever, and then you'd be like, hold up now. That man just dunked on that goal and had a whole touch.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Damn, that's how I feel about this right now. I don't know exactly what's going on in the esports field. So I'm just going to give a random vote by the specific name. So NRG seems pretty solid. And for that, I'm going to go with Team Vitality. Yep, see, I told you it's going to be random. So as far as esports, yeah, safe to say we ain't really have a lot for that. Let me see. Okay, so Player's Voice. Am I tripping? Oh, this is the last one because we was going. Anyways, let's just go in order. I ain't trying to do all that. Really? Nah, because it keeps track of it. So yeah, that works. All right. So we have best esports athlete. Now, as far as this, I'm just going to go by, once again, I don't know too much about this category. We're just going to go by the specific names. And of course, we're going to just give a random vote to Jason. Shout out to Jason. I don't know what you do, my brother, but it seems like you're doing great things because you're on this list, right? So now, let's go to best esports game. Hold on now. Now, one of the interesting facts that I always see about Counter-Strike 2 is that it's consistently number one on Steam. And this is more of an objective, what do you personally like as far as best esports games, right? But I would be not doing my due diligence as a journalist, you know, as far as not pointing out Counter-Strike 2, interestingly enough, is always number one on Steam. Now, as far as the dominance on Steam, as far as the number one spot, I don't think it's talked about enough. I mean, week after week, month after month, year after year, I don't think I've ever seen a game top Counter-Strike 2 at number one. I don't know what they're doing over there because I never really deep dive into that specific culture, but I've always seen it at the top. Every time I covered the gaming roundup as far as the top 15 games on Steam, Counter-Strike 2 and Dota 2 is always top two. So with that being said, as far as best esports team, this is just going to be me objectively going at this list because, of course, I always say just because you sell a lot does not mean you make the highest quality product, and just because you don't sell a lot does not mean you're making the most egregious trash known to man. The two don't correlate. So that being said, best esports game, we have Counter-Strike 2, Dota 2, League of Legends, Mobile Legends, Bang Bang, and Valorant. I've covered all of these games, actually. Have I covered Valorant? Let me see if I covered Valorant. I haven't covered Valorant, but every other game on this list I've covered. So when it comes to that, as far as my coverage, it does seem like Mobile Legends, Bang Bang seems to be the most intriguing to me personally, because I think that's one of the ones that they actually, I was like, how in the world is this so popular? And then I dove into it. I was like, oh, they have a whole type of lore as far as like even before you get into the game. So ignorantly, I'm probably going to go with Mobile Legends, Bang Bang. That may surprise a couple people, but guess what? You know, it's my vote. So anyways, I'm going to go with Mobile Legends, Bang Bang. I would say who I think is going to win, but I don't know enough about the esports field to say who I think is going to win. I would say maybe Counter-Strike 2 because they basically win. Oh no, they top the charts every single time. But like I said earlier, with quantity is not always correlating, right? So, anyways, with that being said, content creator of the year. Now, with this specific category, only people I really know is, of course, Kai Cenat, the GOAT, the legend, the icon. All right, my fault. You know, enough glaze, you know what I'm saying? And then we have Moist Critical, which I believe he was the voice actor for Sonar off of the game Dispatch that I thoroughly enjoyed, which we're going to get to that in a second. You know my strong sentiments about Split Fiction? Dispatch, I think because it came out so late, it's kind of hard to give it the kudos it deserves as far as this specific game awards, because it's, you know, people just going to say recency bias. But I do believe Dispatch was one of the better games of the year. And should I even spoil it? I don't want to spoil Dispatch. But shout out to Yunu for following on Twitch. I appreciate you. For people watching or listening after the fact, I'm currently live doing this. So content creator of the year. I will say, I believe... my Dispatch point. So Moist Critical voice Sonar, and without spoiling anything, let's just say I thoroughly enjoyed Sonar being a part of my team. So with that being said, I'm definitely gonna go with Kai Cenat. I don't even think it's close, but I just wanted to give Moist Critical his props because he did a phenomenal job on Dispatch. So with that being said, it was a nice list, but I only knew Moist Critical and Kai Cenat off of this list, and Kai Cenat is definitely like, I don't even think, like, I know he probably like, I don't know, man. It's like, I would say he probably gets overwhelmed, but it never seems like it. This man did some things that was like unthinkable and changed the whole landscape. Like even in the music field, I believe, maybe not solely Kai Cenat, but I believe the whole rollout for Iceman right now is literally copying people like Kai Cenat speed. Yeah, as far as the live streaming aspect and engaging with the audience, because the Iceman rollout is literally just a live stream that's prepping people for his upcoming album. And I don't think I'm too far off by saying Kai Cenat was the main influencer of that because of the way that he was affecting the masses. So anyways, I don't even think it's close, but shout out to everybody else on this list. So with that being said, getting back at the gaming, you know, as far as covering the entire gaming and music field, you know, I'm going to tie the two in, that, you know, whenever I can. Most anticipated game. And this recognizes the announced games that have demonstrated. Let me just read it like they wrote it. Recognizing an announced game that has. What in the world? What type of word?
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn.
Now, I know I can read, but I ain't never seen a word like that. Demonstrably? Do they mean demonstrated? Demonstrably illustrated. Now, what in the actual? You did not have to word it like that. That was a tongue twister for me. You know, maybe not for other people, but hey, I was like, hold on now. Maybe I need to go back to college. Goodness. So anyways, I'm just going to say demonstrated potential, right? So first game off of this list, we have 007 First Light, which I've covered. Grand Theft Auto 6, which I've covered. All of these games I've covered. Marvel's Wolverine, Resident Evil Requiem, and The Witcher 4. Now, as far as most anticipated game, like the Kai Cenat comparison, it's not close. Grand Theft Auto 6 will stop the world. When Grand Theft Auto comes out, I don't think people really understand the scope of how effective the GTA 6 launch is going to be. Like when it officially launches, like it's to the point where I think, you know, putting on my business cap, I would be under the assumption they're going to go the 2K route. And this is what I mean by that. They're going to make the 1 week or 2 week early access. I don't even know if I'm going to say that. I don't even want to give them ideas. Because I don't want to be anti-consumer. And me putting on my marketing cap, that's an easy way to. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Anyways, let's just say GTA 6, when it comes out, people are not going to care what it's priced. I'm not even going to cap to you. People be like, oh, I'm not going to buy it for $100. Be like, all right.
Whoop dee doo.
All right, they just talking. If y'all seen 2Ks roll out, people just talking. When GTA 6 comes out, the world's going to stop. People are going to call off of work, and they're going to be like, hey, if you get mad that I called off, then fire me. That's how people are going to act. Now, is it logical? Of course not. But when GTA 6 comes out, it's literally going to, like, it's going to be like reports to come out. Oh, the stock went down because nobody working because they playing GTA 6. It's going to be that level of effect. So, and to add on to that, the workers are even knowing the effect that the game's going to have when it launches, as they're having whole unions and Rockstar allegedly, I'm not trying to get sued, Rockstar, allegedly union busting, allegedly. So with that being said, the workers for GTA 6 have even come together to protest against the people who got left off, who got laid off as far as the union busting, allegedly, from Rockstar. So the workers know how big this game is going to be. And of course, the entire Earth knows how big this game is going to be. It's not even close. So most anticipated game, if it even comes out in 2026. Now, I know a lot of y'all don't want to hear that, but it may get pushed back, especially with the workers acting like they are right now, which I'm not mad with. You know, I want them to get paid every penny because GTA 6 is going to make so much money. It's going to boost the economy like Taylor Swift did when she first started to get shown at the NFL, when she was boosting the NFL ratings and all that stuff as far as the monetary value of Taylor Swift being at a Chiefs game. Just think of that for GTA 6 when it comes to the whole entire planet. So anyways, yeah, most anticipated game is GTA 6. It's not even close. Best adaption. So we have Minecraft movie. We have Devil May Cry. Splinter Cell Death Watch, which I saw that. You know, as far as Splinter Cell continuing Sam Fisher's like old arc, like old person arc, I say they did a pretty good job. I would like more shows about or just stories about Sam Fisher, you know, not being old. But at this point in time, they didn't age them out so much that if they went back, they definitely have to retcon some things because of the continuation, right? Anyways, Last of Us Season 2 and then Until Dawn. Okay, so this is best adaptation. Just for like movies, TV shows, recognize the outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. Hold on, man. Hold on. My seat. Because I think I'm reading that right, but I'm not seeing a specific game on here, which makes me believe that maybe I'm missing something. So I'm not going to say it yet, because maybe the release date missed the eligibility period. Maybe that's what it was. Let me see. Okay, so the eligibility for the Game Awards 2025 is on or before November 21st, 2025. And then the late cutoff was November 22nd, 2024. Okay, so November 22, 2024 to November 21, 2025. Okay, that's interesting. Because, okay, so technically, okay, Sonic 3 came out December 20th, 2024. Am I tripping? Did this miss the eligibility period? Because looking at this, you know, I'm no mathematician. But December is after November. And it's in the year of 2024, which makes it eligible for the Game Awards show for 2025. And it's not on this list.
You guys. See, that's the problem.
Now, I know Sonic began disrespected left and right, but this is a lot. Like, easily 4 out of the 5 could be taken off to replace it with Sonic 3. Literally, I would probably say Sonic 3 has the best adaptation. Or the Borderlands TV show, but that probably definitely missed the eligibility period. Let me see. Borderlands TV show. So, okay, yeah, the Borderlands TV show missed it. But yeah, Sonic 3 came out in the eligibility period and it's not on this at all, which is how you missed that? Like, it's not even like it was a niche release. Sonic 3 broke all type of records. And everybody went to go watch the movie. To the point where I think Nintendo can have an MCU type run as far as the Infinity War saga. They could call it like the Super Smash Bros. Saga. Like the way they're working up with Sonic, Mario. I don't know what they're doing with Zelda. Making that live action. Whoever was in the marketing room and they made their decision. Hey, we should make Zelda live action. You know what I would have said? You're fired. Get out. You're fired. Ain't no way. In the grand scheme of things, you see what's going on with Mario Sonic and you want to make Zelda live action. I don't know what in the world is going on over there. So anyways, yeah, Nintendo could have a Super Smash Bros. Type of rollout or type of run. As far as the MCU, they could call it like the NCU. And, you know, Pokemon already has their movie. What other movies as far as the Nintendo universe? Because you need Zelda, right? The animated Zelda, not live action. Samus, maybe. No, I don't think Samus is that popular. I'm trying to see, what's the biggest Super Smash Bros? Well, you get the point. Sonic should be on this list. Not only on this list, I would vote for Sonic. So if there was like a slot right here where I could vote for Sonic, be like, hey man, we messed up. We just forgot Sonic came out in the eligibility period. I would excuse that because this is atrocious. Nah, not having Sonic 3 on this, not even makes me not even want to vote. But because I got to vote, I'm probably going to go with Splinter Cell. I know Minecraft movie would probably get it because that also was a huge moment. Think of Sonic. So think of the Minecraft and how it had people coming out saying chicken jockey and just going crazy. Not on the same level because Minecraft was kind of crazy. But Sonic 3 definitely had that type of appeal of people going to the movie theaters that usually do not go. Because the movie theaters is having a huge problem as far as getting people in theaters when you can just watch it from your home, right? So Minecraft did that. Sonic did that. A lot of the gaming movies is doing that, quiet as kept, for the movie theaters. So yeah, as far as a Minecraft movie, I think it will get it. But for my personal pick, I'm going to go with Splinter Cell. But pour one out for Sonic 3, man. That man, Sonic, never getting his respect.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
And then we have Best Multiplayer. Now, hold up now. Drop a bomb for the year of multiplayer games. Now, when you look at this list, I think this is a heavy competitive list. All of these games deserve it. I mean, every single one. Ark Raiders. You have Battlefield 6. You have Elden Ring Night Rain. You have Peak. You have Split Fiction. And, of course, for my personal pick, you already know where I'm going to go with. So, as far as explaining the best multiplayer and how competitive it is, just know, when you look at the landscape of things, I didn't even have the charts pulled up because it's more of just me voting. And, you know, I try not to add too much analytical when I'm reacting or just voting. But, of course, you know, I can never help myself. You know, that's the whole platform based off of. So, looking at that specifically, do I have that pulled up? Let me see. Oh, yeah, here we go. So, anyways, Ark Raiders is currently the fourth most played game on Steam right now. And then when you look at Battlefield, it's currently Where's that at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's currently the 8th most played game on Steam. Now, I'm not going to keep reiterating what I say about quality and quantity. They don't correlate at all times. But for all of these games, I think the only one that maybe let down people from a quality aspect was Elden Ring Nightreign. And I don't even think it's because of the game. I think it was because of the... What did people not like about it? People was coming out saying something. I remember... Because I covered all these games. Did I cover Peak? Let me see if I covered Peak. I didn't cover Peak. So Peak's the only game I didn't cover on here. But as far as Nightreign, I want to see what I said specifically about that. Because I think I have Spark Notes about that specific game. Let me see. So, what did people say about this? Oh, that's what it was. People was mad about the solo mode and how hard it was. Which, Nightreign is all about co-op, so it's not really a strong critique. For the most part, people said it was a phenomenal game. I don't want to put words in people's mouths because I never played Nightreign. I was going to get around to it, but I forget. Some game came out. I think it was Ready or Not I was playing. I don't know. I forget. Which Ready or Not also belongs on this list, in my opinion, but it's just so competitive. I'm not mad at Ready or Not making it. Basically, I was just pinpointing the least likely to win best multiplayer. I think Elden Ring Nightreign is the least likely. As far as most likely, personally, well, you already know personally, I'm going with Split Fiction. I'm not mad at Arc Raiders getting this win. Arc Raiders, I think, actually pushed gaming forward. And hold up now. Before you bring out the pitchforks, like, hold up now. You guys got to hear me out. So Arc Raiders is not a battle royale. It's a PvEvP type game, meaning that there's robots in the world and there's other players. But technically, you do not have to fight everybody you come across in the world of Arc Raiders. You could just get your loot and get out. Everybody could team up against the Clankers. And I don't know why they do it. There's a stat that came out because I remember deep diving to Arc Raiders. Around 60% of players on Steam are actually more likely to team up with you compared to console players. So all the savages seem to be on console. So when it comes to Steam, that's where you're going to find the people with common sense as far as noticing that Arc Raiders is really about the war against the Clankers that took over, right? So the reason why I say that is because it's very different from a Battle Royale copy and paste that we've seen from time and time again. Even Battlefield 6 fell victim to it with Red Sec, which I'm not mad at it because it helped the player count. But at the end of the day, we do have to champion the games that push the gaming industry forward, not just follows the same vanilla model. So I wouldn't be mad if Arc Raiders wins this, but of course, personally, got to go with Split Fiction, which is, once again, my favorite game of the year. Which I'm a little biased because I played it with my cousin, but you know, you get the point. I also play Ready or Not with my cousin. Y'all see the, very family oriented. So a little biased when it comes to that. But I still think Split Fiction should get best multiplayer. But I think it may go to Arc Raiders. Best sports / racing. Hold up now. The one year where I wouldn't have been mad if 2K not only was nominated, but won. I wouldn't have been mad if 2K actually won this category because 2K26. It's the first time in a while I've seen a 2K release not get met with the utmost scrutiny. Everybody was like, you know what?
You guys.
This is actually a pretty good game. I was like, hold up now. This is not the 2K community I know. They usually hate about everything. So 2K26 not being on here is actually kind of surprising. But anyways, as far as this best sports / racing category, we have EA Sports FC. We have F1 25. We have Mario Kart World. We have Rematch. And you have Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. I think the only game I didn't cover was the F1. I think F1 I did not cover at all. I covered F1 from like a musical aspect, I believe. Yeah, because Don Toliver and Doja Cat made a track called Lose My Mind from the F1 movie. And I covered that. But as far as the video game, I did not. But every other video game I did cover on this list. So when it comes to that, best sports / racing, I think it has to go to Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. And isn't it funny how Sonic Racing Cross Worlds crossed their mind when putting it on the nominee list for best sports / racing, but Sonic 3 didn't cross their minds when talking about the best adaptation from video games? Like, what? It doesn't make any sense. So anyways, at least Sonic made it on here somehow. I never want to disrespect Mario, but let's just say it was a little underwhelming. Rematch, it was solid, but I'm not gonna lie, any sports game that comes out the gate without cross play is like it's just a recipe for disaster. If you're a sports game, you see every sports game on the market has crossplay. If you come out, I don't care if you add it later. If you come out the gate with no crossplay as a sports game, it's just going to make me not compare it to the best of the best, if that makes sense. It's still a great game. It just, when you start to nitpick, that's something that just stands out to me. So even though it has it now, when it first came out, it didn't. So I don't even think it's going to come close. I think literally Sonic Racing or EA Sports will probably get this. But I'm going to go with Sonic Racing Cross Worlds as far as the best sports. So with that being said, let's go into best sim slash strategy. Is The Sims on here? The Sims usually is on, always on here. You know, The Sims got a grip on the, like, simulation community. Like, they really enjoy The Sims. They be making whole lives, just micromanaging everything, but their own life. Oh, my fault. I didn't say that. So that being said, best sim slash strategy. We have Final Fantasy Tactics. We have Jurassic World Evolution 3. We have Sid Meier's Civilization 7, which I believe I covered that one. Because I didn't cover everything on this list. Let me see why is this acting up. Let me see, Sid. Oh yeah, here we go. I covered that February 19th of this year. Because I do remember covering that. All these other games I don't think I covered. Like Final Fantasy Tactics. Yeah, I didn't cover that. I only covered Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So we have Final Fantasy Tactics, Jurassic World Evolution 3, Sid Meier's Civilization 7, Tempest Rising, The Altars, and then Two Point Museum. Now, I only covered Sid Meier's Civilization 7, and that must have been for a reason. I don't know why in the world that's the only game off of here I covered. I don't really remember any of these other games making a massive impact, which is not about quality. I mean, it's not about quantity. It's just, you know, I wanted to say that just for people who was wondering, like, what games made the biggest splash as far as sales. But quality is always subjective. But because I'm biased, I'm not going to lie to you. I'll probably go with this game. It seems like this one, well, I'll probably go with Sid Meier's. Because ignorantly, I don't know too much about the other game, so. I'll probably off with that a little bit, but that's my vote for best sim slash strategy. So that being said, let's get into best family game. Hold on now. You know that this is always the Nintendo award.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
You look at the state of gaming. If you say best family games, you know you have to at least have every single Nintendo game that was released in that specific year in this category. So, we have Donkey Kong Bonanza. We have Lego Party. We have Lego Voyagers. We have Mario Kart World. We have Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. And then we have Split Fiction. Hold up now. Oh. They put Split Fiction in a tough category. Because as far as best family game, I think it has to go to Donkey Kong Bonanza. And you already know how biased I am with Split Fiction. But as far as just from a family aspect and from a Mario transitioning into a Donkey Kong type game, as far as the Mario Odyssey having that same type of, it's like Donkey Kong Odyssey. That's how I compare Donkey Kong Bonanza. It's a really good game. So yeah, I have to go with Donkey Kong Bonanza. Dang, every single category that Split Fiction was in, I was gonna pick it, but Donkey Kong definitely has this one, which, you know, goes back to my point. If you say best family, you have to say a Nintendo game right after, because it's just, they've just owned the whole family market, which is why I say that Xbox are going to have some trouble actually having a foothold or a footprint in the gaming community, because console, they already conceded that to PlayStation. They was like, we're not even competing with them. They literally came and said, we're not competing with PlayStation. We're competing with TikTok. I said, what in the world?
You guys, see, that's the problem.
I was like, who in the world told y'all that? Y'all make a whole console for gaming, and the other console, the only other console that's in your ecosystem, because Nintendo's for family, is your competition. Who in the world told y'all it's not? It's like LeBron being like, you know what? Me and Steph Curry ain't really competing. Like, we already solidified. You know what I'm saying? Well, I guess Xbox wouldn't be LeBron in this situation, but you get the point. Like, y'all are direct competition as far as y'all legacy, and to not acknowledge that makes me feel like you just conceded it, which is why, you know, I called my latest episode Xbox officially concedes the console war to PlayStation, because that quote by Phil Spencer was actually kind of crazy. So anyways, I say all that to say that consoles taken up by PlayStation, the family market is taken up by Nintendo, and the only market that Xbox is going to try to take over as far as the PC console hybrid, Steam literally just put out the Steam machine and stepped on Xbox's whole rollout. You know, they was basically like, hold up now.
Whoop dee doo.
Forget what you're talking about.
Whoop dee doo.
We putting out the Steam machine, stepping on all your PC console hybrid plans. We're doing it first. So, pour one out for Xbox, man. They going through it. So anyways, let's go to Donkey Kong Bonanza for best family. So with that being said, now let's get into best fighting game. Hold on now. Y'all don't even know. 2026. I know I'm skipping past this list. 2026. This list is probably going to be the most competitive that it's ever been. I know that may be a hot take, but we have Marvel Token. We have Invincible Versus. Actually, the 2XKO already come out. 2XKO. Let me see. I think it was a beta, right? Oh, okay. Yeah. So technically, it comes out after the eligibility period. So yeah, we have 2XKO. And then, of course, I think that's it. But basically, as far as the new additions, that's high quality. Best fighting game is going to be highly competitive. Wait, hold up. Oh my goodness. 2XKO's right there. Did it just lie to me? I literally just looked this up. It said December 31st, 2025. Hey man, whoever's running the internet, y'all may have to get some type of, y'all gotta get somebody to fix that. Cause we're in the world. I literally looked that up. It said December 31st, 2025. Maybe I'm tripping. Because, yeah, let me show y'all. Because y'all going to think, you're going to be like, hey, how'd you even come up with that? I went to the internet, man. This is why you should never just go to the internet, right? Here I am trying to be an informed individual. That says December 31st, 2025, which is technically after the eligibility period. And look, it's right here. So, I don't know. Maybe they was wanting to give 2XKO less competition. But, yeah, with that being said, it definitely has to go to 2XKO. We have Capcom Fighting Collection. Hold up. Oh, no, that's Capcom Fighting Collection. That's not with Marvel, right? Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection, Virtua Fighter. What? Virtua Fighter 5, Revo World Stage. I could see it maybe going to Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection, but I don't know what platforms those are on. Like, I don't remember seeing that at all. And I'm a huge Mortal Kombat fan. I think it has to go to 2XKO. It just has to. Like, I thought this was going to be part of next list competition. But it seems like Marvel Token and Invincible Versus, ironically, they're going to have to be fighting it out for next year. But as far as 2XKO, they got their own slot in this year. So less competition. I think they're probably going to get it. But shout out to the other fighting games. You know, salute to y'all. Best RPG. Now, I know they ain't the Outer Worlds 2.
You guys... See, that's the problem.
Now, I know what y'all saying. Like, technically, the Outer Worlds 2 is a good game, but fun fact. You know, I do one take, so I had to take sips in between. Fun fact. World-renowned content creator, the Black Hokage. You know, usually what he recommends, it's usually high quality, right? And he recommended the Outer Worlds 1. And when it came to that specific game, I thought to myself, oh boy, another RPG that the GOAT recommended. It has to be phenomenal. And I came to realize,
you guys,
it definitely was not. Now, I don't know what type of playthrough he has. Actually, I do, because he just killed everybody. And I don't know if he was paying too much attention to the story. But when I was playing that game, I was like, this story is straight up garbage. Not mediocre, not good, great. I think it was garbage. The whole premise made absolutely no sense. And I'm an RPG stan. So when it comes to Outer Worlds 2, I've never gotten the hype. As far as, you know, when it comes to the Outer Worlds franchise, I never understood the hype. And playing it made me feel like maybe I'm just out on a limb as far as saying it's not that good. But hey, that's just how I feel. So yeah, I don't even know why the Outer Worlds 2 is on this list. But anyways, we have Avowed, Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, and Monster Hunter Wild. Now, when it comes to this list, technically, you know, excluding the Outer Worlds 2 and Monster Hunter Wilds, and, well, okay, so that takes away from my point. Yeah, I think it's just between Expedition and Kingdom Come. I think I covered that. It's Kingdom. Oh, yeah, I did cover that. So February 19, 2025. Oh, your boy was on the nose. Hold on now. I said, does Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 deserve Game of the Year? Goodness gracious, your boy out here, ain't he? So anyways, let me see. How many people watch that? I ain't a stickler for numbers. Oh, goodness gracious. I need to cover that more. I'm tripping. That's the only time I cover that. Dang, 4,000 people. Hey, I appreciate y'all. But anyways, with that being said, I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is definitely going to win this. It's not even close. Best RPG. I think when we look at the landscape of the past 3 to 5 years, Elden Ring and Expedition 33, I think, is in a league of its own, especially the way it pushed gaming forward as far as showcasing. Then you can have a phenomenal experience in a gaming landscape that's not only ball and gun centric, which I know you're probably saying, technically one of the characters has a gun. Technically he does. But when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, you know what I'm saying about the turn-based elements, you know, people not really being open to that. I think Expedition 33 puts it in a way to where you still have enough hands-on actions as far as dodging, as far as countering, that makes it engaging more. It makes it more engaging than most turn-based games, if that makes sense. So I think it's Expedition 33. I don't even think it's close. And of course, I think they're gonna win that. I don't even think, like, they should have basically just said best RPG Expedition 33 and just left it at that. So anyways, but shout out to Kingdom Come. You know, that's also a good game. Best action / adventure. Now, this category has Death Stranding 2. Okay, it does say / adventure. I will give that to Death Stranding 2. But I was like, action. I played that game, and, you know, I feel like a UPS, you know, UPS worker, FedEx worker, which, you know, nothing wrong with them. I'm basically saying that wasn't too much action. You know, it was more delivering. But the adventure part, it is an adventure, and the graphics are through the roof. Shout out to Zoe for following on Twitch. But with that being said, I think Death Stranding 2 on this list is very interesting. I'm not mad at it because of the graphics being out of this world, and the adventure was top tier. So it just threw me off. We have Ghost of Yote, Hollow Knight Silksong, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, and then the one and only Split Fiction. So for me being biased, I'm going to go with Split Fiction. But what I think the Game Awards is going to go with is definitely Death Stranding 2. Now, like I said earlier, I'm not going to make jokes like other people do with Kojima and Jeff Keighley's relationship. All I'm going to say is I think he's probably going to win this award. But personally, I'm going to go with Split Fiction. But shout out to all the games on this list. Surprised to see Indiana Jones on here, but I heard a lot of good things about it. So, yeah, Split Fiction is definitely my vote for best action / adventure. So with that being said, now we have best action game. Now, when it comes to best action game, we have Battlefield 6, Doom, The Dark Ages, Hades 2, Ninja Gaiden 4, and Shinobi, Art of Vengeance. Now, I think Doom, The Dark Ages should not be on this list. And the reason why I say that is because me personally playing the game, I did not get the hype. I think I should have played the one before it that a lot of people were saying was the peak of the gameplay loop for this specific game. But when it came to Doom, The Dark Ages, it felt like the overall gameplay loop was very boring. Like, I don't know what it was specifically from me playing it, but I just got the vibe that they basically phoned it in. I don't think they tried to make a successor to the last game. I think they tried to switch it up, make it more ground-based and slower, and that made it its own thing. But the problem with that was it made it its own thing in complete garbage. Like, the one thing we liked about the Doom before it, that a lot of people were saying that, because I didn't play the game, but as far as the consensus, was that Doom, the one before, I forget the game before it, it was very fast-paced, and it felt like it was a rush of adrenaline every time we played that specific game. And Doom, The Dark Ages was slowed down, but it was slowed down to the point where it was, like, kind of monotonous. as far as, you know, it's more of a chess move. So it's definitely a thinking man's game. I really enjoyed it from that aspect. But it was so slow. It was like, I don't think this is the gameplay loop that the Doom fans was talking about with the previous game. And when I start to research the consensus of this specific game, that's what all the complaints were, was that it was too slowed down and it wasn't as fun as the last Doom game. So I don't know why they slowed down the pace. It seems like they also lowered the quality with that being said. So as far as best action game, I wouldn't be mad if it went to Hades 2. Ninja Gaiden 4 was solid, but I don't think it's the best action game of the year. Battlefield 6 can't win best action game like it's, I mean, come on now. Battlefield 6, I mean, I mean, it's a multiplayer game. You know, it's like, it's more cookie cutter, shoot somebody, they shoot you. As far as action game, I feel like you have to have a variety of tools as far as how you attack an opponent. I know people are going to say, nah, bro, you got the assault rifle, you got the submachine gun, you got the pistol, you got tanks. I'm not trying to hear all that. I'm as far as best action game and pushing the gaming industry forward, if you want to think outside of the box, I think Hades 2 does that and also makes it still enjoyable. So I'm going to go with Hades 2. So with that being said, let's go into best VR/AR. Man, this is a category that just will not die, man.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
Every time I look at the state of VR and AR, I just keep thinking to myself,
you guys,
nobody wants this. You guys, hey, yo, ask the gaming community what they would prefer. You to focus more on optimizing console games and PC games, or you to take resources from that to make full-fledged VR games that nobody's going to play.
You guys, see, that's the problem.
So as far as best VR/AR, I could care less. And that's crazy, right? Because I see Deadpool on here, and I'm a huge Marvel fan. So that also didn't entice me to get a VR. I'm like, y'all using Deadpool to sell VR products when we just want Deadpool and Marvel rivals. Like, there's nobody who wants VR games. There's nobody that wants VR games. Because the capabilities of VR, shameless plug to my Sandbox VR vlog, that was a whole studio production that put us into a specific world for like, I think it was like an hour, a mission. Like it was an hour, and every mission took like an hour. We played like two. And that's the type of VR experience that we need as far as to make it uplifting compared to the console and PC game play. But at your home, you don't have a whole staff to put the things on your ankles, your wrist, your chest, you know, stuff like that. And then the overall surroundings is not going to be to the point where it's like 3D. Basically, we do not have the capabilities, the household capabilities for VR gaming to be what it should be to make people play that compared to console and PC. We're not nearly there. And I think it's more of a rich type of VR/AR is more of a rich person, like, how am I trying to say this? Because basically, to have it set up for VR, AR, you have to be well off, in my opinion, to set it up correctly. I'm not talking about just having the headset and then playing in your bedroom. I'm talking about to have it set up correctly as far as the surround sound, as far as you actually being in the world and you being able to, like, move around freely in a specific amount of space, not standing in one place and sitting there while you do the controller, right? I'm talking about moving while you're playing the game. I think you would have to be well off. And I think it's more of a rich person hobby to have a solidified VR headset. Oh, no, a solidified VR experience. What I'm talking about as far as solidified is what Sandbox VR does. Look up Sandbox VR, see what they do, see the experience they give people. To have that in your household is more of a rich person experience. You have to be well off to even have that type of equipment. So that's why I say that. Obviously, anybody could get a VR headset. But the VR experience is just not there in the household. It's just not up to date. So with that whole soliloquy, safe to say I'm just going to go with Deadpool because I'm ignorant and not like Deadpool. So as far as the VR category, we're not even there. I don't even know why they still put that there. They should talk about the best VR places so I could, you know, get my vote to Sandbox VR. So anyways, best mobile game. So we have Destiny Rising. We have Persona 5, The Phantom X. We have Sonic Rumble. We have What in the World? How do you say that? Now I have to have Jarvis say that. How in the world?
Uma Museum.
Nah, bro. See, how I was supposed to know how to pronounce that? Ooh, my museum. Okay, all right. Y'all gonna laugh at me. Don't care. I don't know how to say that. And then we have Wuthering. What? It's not with an I. It's with a U. So Wuthering Waves. Anyways, Wuthering. I think it's Wuthering. Yeah, Wuthering Waves. So with that being said, as far as the mobile games, I've been putting more respect on the mobile gaming community. So I'm kind of surprised I don't know too many games off of here. Besides the Persona 5. I do remember that one, I believe. So ignorantly, I'm probably going to go with Persona 5. Because from the gameplay I saw, it was pretty solid. It looked like an actual, like, I'm not going to go that far. But as far as the console aspect compared to the mobile, it looked like a very upscale game on mobile. Very optimized. It looked fantastic. Shout out to Ling on Twitch for following. Shout out to you. Hopefully you're enjoying this Game Awards coverage. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Persona 5 Phantom X. So, interestingly enough, as far as the best mobile game category, I didn't recognize too many on there. Best debut indie game. Now, I know you're probably wondering, why is there only four slots? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me let you in on a little secret. There was this game that took itself off of debut indie game because they technically wasn't indie. So they literally told Jeff Keighley that they had to be taken off. And I think Jeff Keighley even tweeted about it. Because, if a gaming studio comes out and say we're not indie, then you probably have to take them off of the list. So when it comes to Jeff... How do you spell this man's name? I thought I spelled it right last time. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Jeff Keighley and then Indie. Oh, here we go. All right. So when it comes to Jeff Keighley in the Indie kerfuffle, right? Apparently, there was a specific game called Megabonk. And with that being said, it was nominated for Best Indie Game. But do y'all see it up here? Of course not. So basically, they reached out to the Game Awards to clarify that they're not indie. And they're an established solo developer who've been making games for quite some time. Well, not quite some time, but I don't think it was a debut indie game. So Jeff Keighley basically came out and he said this. Analytic Dreams video on Spotify to see the video along with the audio. For the people listening after the fact. Obviously, for my live listeners, y'all seeing this. But Jeff Keighley said, Megabonk, a nominee for Best Debut Indie Game, reached out to clarify that he is an established solo developer. They said stop playing with their name. Not just playing. And then Jeff Keighley went on to say, who had been presenting himself as a new creator under the name Vedinad, I think that's how he said, we're grateful for this honesty. As a result, Megabonk will be removed from the category.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
Pour one out for Megabonk, man. But as far as that, best debut indie game, did y'all know that I believe Sandfall Interactive / Kepler Interactive and Ad Hoc Studio, I think they're both Ubisoft X developers. So when Clair Expedition won awards at, I think it was called the Golden Sticks. I don't really know. I didn't even know that was a thing. But they won an award at the Golden Sticks, right? And they basically came out to give kudos to Dispatch. And I know, right? I mean, imagine winning an award for Game of the Year and you shout out another game. But then you come to realize, I think they're both ex-Ubisoft developers. So it makes sense, right? So I'm trying to find an actual quote. I think he actually gave a speech. So, he actually gave a speech. It was only 8 seconds. So I'm just going to play the audio.
Story that comes from the heart. And I hope that more will follow like this. And also Pay Dispatch is very, very cool and has a very good story if you like this one. Yeah, thank you.
So this was the developer of Expedition 33 saying during his award speech at the Golden Stick Awards to Play Dispatch. It is a very cool and has a very good story. Now, let me just show y'all so y'all can see this. So y'all probably wondering, why shout out another game while you're up there winning Game of the Year or Best Storytelling at the Golden Sticks Awards, right?
Story that comes from the heart, and I hope that more will follow like this. And also Pay Dispatch is very, very cool and has a very good story if you like this one. Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, probably thinking to yourself, what in the world, who does that, right? Who shouts out another game while they're winning an award? And then you come to realize, hold on, I gotta turn this down. All right, there we go. You come to realize they're both ex-Ubisoft developers. So I'm not gonna go out on a limb and say they're sticking it to Ubisoft. But, you know, I'm basically saying that. They're probably saying that, hey, Ubisoft don't know what they're doing. So let me stick up for another development studio who left Ubisoft and made a fantastic story. So, yeah. So that's basically a little lore. Just wanted to give y'all two lores in best debut indie game. This has been jam-packed. I ain't gonna lie to you as far as storylines. So as far as them going against each other, I'm pretty sure they're probably just gonna shout each other out if they win. Shout out to Blueprints and Despilote. I think that's how you say it. My fault. But they have no chance. Expedition 33 versus Dispatch is what this category is about. I think Expedition, I'm not even gonna cap. I may go out on a limb and say, I don't know if they will. I wouldn't be mad if the developers say, hey, if y'all gonna choose us, because obviously we don't know what y'all gonna choose, what game y'all gonna choose. You know what I'm saying? But if y'all give it to Dispatch, we wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route behind the scenes. So I'm gonna go for Dispatch. I'm not gonna lie to you as far as best debut indie game. Well, no, I'm not gonna lie. Expedition literally made that the whole marketing. It made that the whole marketing landscape. I was basically putting on my conspiracy hat. Yeah, I don't know about that. That's literally the whole marketing rollout. Like, hey, there's only 33 people in the studio. And they call it Expedition 33. So yeah, they have to go. They have to give it to Expedition. I don't even care. I don't think no email in the world could stop them from giving it to Expedition 33. All right, best independent game. Wait, hold on now. What's the difference now? Best debut indie game. Okay. Best independent game. Okay. Now it's time for us to read the descriptions. You know how when you're in the spelling bee, you'd be like, hey, can you use that in a sentence? I need them to use this in a sentence. No cap. Best debut indie game. For the best debut game created by a new independent studio. Okay, that makes sense. Best independent game. For outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system. Okay, that makes sense. So that's like if an independent studio was putting out their second, third, fourth, fifth game, right? Okay, that makes sense. So of course, Expedition 33 is still on here because, you know, it's the second game. Which goes back to my point. They may be like, hey, give it to Dispatch. But, you know, that's just me. That's just me. You know, they're trying to ex-Ubisoft devs maybe sticking together. But, you know, that's a conspiracy theory for sure. Best independent game has to go to Expedition 33. I mean, if they're going to give them best indie game, they have to give them best independent game. I mean, you know, it's like if somebody was the best defender in the league, but they didn't make all NBA, right? It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're going to make the best indie game, as far as debut indie game, you have to have the best independent game, if that makes sense. Actually, I guess that doesn't make sense. Because if it's a second, third game, and if it's better than Expedition 33, then they should get the award. But guess what? None of these games are better than Expedition 33. Hollow Knight Silksong, for a second, I was thinking maybe it could be better. But as far as the story of Expedition 33, it's way better than Hollow Knight Silksong. I literally don't know what's going on in Hollow Knight Silksong. I just enjoy it for the gameplay. I'm a sucker for platformers. Silksong definitely does platforming way better than Expedition. But as far as the overall story, I mean, the story is just immaculate in Expedition 33, let alone the visuals, let alone the gameplay. Y'all get the point. Expedition 33 needs to win Best Independent Game. So that being said, now we're getting into Best Community Support. Shout out to the community. Shout out to the community, because without y'all, the gaming industry wouldn't be what it is today. Mm-mm-mm. Now, all jokes aside, which, you know, that wasn't a joke. But as far as best community support, recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates / patches. Mm-mm-mm. So we have Baldur's Gate 3. Oh, goodness. They made a resurgence, didn't they? Because you already know they won Game of the Year. I think it was last year. So they're back here again. Final Fantasy, is that 14? That's 14, right? You know, hey, I've been out of college for a minute. Well, not really, but you get the point. Final Fantasy 14, I believe. Fortnite, Helldivers 2, No Man's Sky. As far as best community support, I mean, if they're going by numbers, it has to be Fortnite. Yeah, if they're going by numbers, it has to be Fortnite. But if they're going by, what's subjective about what they have in the description? Community support, okay, transparency. Fortnite's pretty transparent, right? Responsiveness. Hey, Fortnite was very responsive when Vader was out here using the ERs and the
Shepherd.
All right, my fault, but y'all get the point. When Darth Vader was turning into you know who, they expeditiously fixed that. So I remember that. Y'all must have forgot. Nah, I ain't forget. Vader must have thought he was back in the old days. Like, nah, bro, you can't talk to us like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Vader was tripping. Anyways. Yeah, Fortnite should probably win this. I think best community support based off of the description. Updates, patches. I mean, everything that they listed, Fortnite does way better. Because it's like, just because you've got to the place where you have everybody and their mama working on a specific game so you could do a lot of grandiose things that other studios can only dream of, does not mean that because of the success, you should just like get voters fatigue. Fortnite is still by far and away has the best community that I've seen in the gaming industry in quite some time. I mean, to the point where if y'all see my banner, let me see, because you know my banner is about the musicians and the game icons that notoriously affect the masses. So obviously you see right here, right next to Shepherd on the banner is Fortnite. I mean, Fortnite has one of the best supportive communities I've seen in quite some time in the gaming industry. So with that being said, I think we have to go with Fortnite. So best community support has to go to Fortnite, unless they get voters fatigue and they want to give it to somebody else. If I was to like pick a second place, I'd probably say Helldivers 2. Because, oh, I don't know. No Man's Sky is pretty close. I don't know. That's pretty close. But Fortnite is not close. So Fortnite is obviously number one. If they do give it to somebody else, I would think it would either be Helldivers 2 or No Man's Sky. But I could be off with that. So anyways, best ongoing. So best ongoing awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. Once again, Fortnite, and it's not even close. But if they have voters fatigue, I wouldn't be mad at it going to Marvel Rivals. For people listening, like for people who are only listening after the fact, they have Final Fantasy 14 on here, Fortnite, Helldivers 2, Marvel Rivals, and No Man's Sky. So it's similar to the last list, but you know, it's one distinct change, which is having Marvel Rivals on here. Don't know why they're not a part of community support, because Marvel Rivals definitely be giving us community updates. And of course, they give us the most egregious amount of Gooner content I've ever seen in my measly 25 years on Earth, right? As far as Gooner bait, I think we need to change that to NetEase bait. Like the way that NetEase has changed the marketing strategies for a plethora of studios, I'm looking directly at you, Ad Hoc Studios. Don't make me bring up the deluxe cover that y'all use to sell the deluxe edition. I still ain't forgot about that. Actually, I'm gonna bring it up. Hold up. Okay, safe to say, I was not able to find it. But good thing for y'all, PlayStation Store exists. So I just went to the PlayStation Store. So let me see if I could. Can I open this image? Oh, yeah, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ad Hoc. Hold up. Ad Hoc. Don't you know we can see you? Now, when I talk about influence in the space of gaming, I think Ad Hoc saw the amount of microtransactions that NetEase was bringing in, and they said to themselves, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to up the Gooner bait. And I can't be mad at them. That's W Gooner bait right there. I ain't gonna cap to you. I mean, Dispatch is literally covering Prism's face. Shout out to Modern for following on Twitch. Let me see. All right, so Yeah, as far as that, oh, and this is the deluxe edition, by the way, if y'all want to see that too. This is the deluxe edition along with the price. So usually, I think it's an additional $10, but along with the game, well, okay, so if you already have the game, I think it's an additional $10. But with the game, if you don't have the game and you want to buy it all at once, it's $36. Well, I think I don't know why it's not showing. Why is it not showing in USD? What in the world? Why is it doing that? Yo, it's showing me like pounds and stuff. I don't even have like a VPN on or anything. I don't know why in the world it's doing that. Anyways, that's crazy. So, what was I saying about that? Oh, yeah. So, as far as influence, I mean, Fortnite is not even close. But as far as recently, I will say if there was to give it to somebody else because of voters fatigue, I wouldn't be mad at them giving it to Marvel Rivals. So, I'm going to go with Marvel Rivals because, you know, I'm biased with Marvel Rivals, but still, they do have a pretty good ongoing fan base going on. And they've been coming back for the zombies mode. And, of course, they have the Gambit and Rogue marketing strategy going on right now that a lot of people are enjoying. So, games for impact. We have Consume Me. Okay. We have Despelote, however you say that. We have Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, South of Midnight. Oh, hold up now. I totally forgot about South of Midnight. I'm tripping. Yo.
You guys. See, that's the problem.
Man, somebody take my black card away. What in the world? How in the world did I forget about South of Midnight? Because, interestingly enough, you know, me as a Game Pass holder, I didn't even play South of Midnight.
You guys. See, that's the problem.
One of the few games I feel like I missed out on as far as in the year of 2025. Because y'all already know, especially if you tune into live streams, I'll be playing any and every game. So to not get around to South of Midnight was a shame on me, man. Shame on me.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn.
Hey, yeah, it's tough. So as far as games for impact, ignorantly, I'm gonna go with South of Midnight because I don't know any of the other games on here. I don't remember I haven't seen any news bites for any of the other games, which doesn't always mean it's not higher quality. It just means as far as me personally, and then it reached my feed. So ignorantly, I'm gonna go with South of Midnight. So with that being said, wait, hold up, who's this? Let me see. I don't know who that is. Okay. Yeah, let's go South of Midnight. Games for Impact. So we went with South of Midnight for Games for Impact. And we're just going to take a brief intermission before we get into the last, 8 categories. Because, you know, we're basically over halfway through. So as far as the brief intermission, because I'm live, you know, I do want to say shout out to everybody who's tuning in right now. Shout out to the 400 plus. We almost were at 500. You know what I mean? Drop a bomb for y'all. Not technically at 5, we have 463 technically. But shout out to everybody tuning in. As when it comes to the live streaming aspect, if you are new, just know I'm live on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Kick. So that being said, click my link tree in my bio to be directed to whatever platform you prefer the live stream aspect on. And of course, for people watching in the future, an Analytic Dreams video on Spotify, make sure to rate this 5 stars and share this to somebody who you think would enjoy deep, extensive pulse.
You guys.
Coverage of the Game Awards. Now, that being said, let's get back into it. Innovation in accessibility. Okay. So, recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. That's what's up. Now, as far as all these games on here, the only one I think I didn't cover was Atom Fall. Did I ever cover Atom Fall? Let me see. Atom Fall. Okay, I never covered Atom Fall. So when it comes to that, specifically covering all these other games, I don't actually know what they did in the accessibility options. Which sounds crazy, but when you cover the entire landscape, you kind of like try to get to the game sales, the game reviews, but as far as the accessibility, I don't really get into that. Like, you know, I mean, the colorblind mode, I am partly colorblind, so that's always nice. I see that in like every game, so I guess that's not like a unique feature. Basically, what I'm saying is I don't have anything to add to this category. So, ignorantly, just so I want, you know, just so South of Midnight gets two wins, I'm gonna go with this one. You know, even though, you know, it's not a win, but you know, it's a win in my book because, you know, I voted for South of Midnight. So shout out to South of Midnight for innovation and accessibility. You know what I'm saying? That's my vote. Best performance. Now this one is where it gets pretty competitive. We have the one and only Ben Starr as far as Clara Obscura Expedition 33, the GOAT, the iconic Charlie Cox. And you're probably saying, why are you saying all that? I'm a huge Marvel fan. I keep telling you all the time. The way he did what he did for Marvel storytelling on Netflix and his portrayal of Daredevil will be forever influential for the foreseeable future.
You guys.
And of course, I'm not talking about the Daredevil show on Disney Plus. The Daredevil show on Netflix is way better. And I'm not even saying that with like any type of nostalgia bias or anything. It's way better. It's not even close. Daredevil season 1, season 2, The Defenders. I think maybe The Defenders is on par with the Daredevil season on Disney Plus. But as far as in general, the Netflix seasons of Daredevil is phenomenal. But keep in mind, this is his gaming. This is for his gaming performance. So, you know, I can't be that biased. But we have Erika Ishii, I think that's how you say it, for Ghost of Yote. Oh, phenomenal performance. Atsu, one of the more unintentionally funny characters in the game in the year of 2025. As far as being unintentionally funny, I think they nailed it with Atsu because she's a stone cold murderer. You look into her eyes and you just see death, right? Some of the interactions she has with NPCs, I'm not going to spoil the game, obviously. One of the NPCs, though, just a random encounter. And I'm just going to talk about the banter. Basically, he's like, people pulling up, right? And they want to kill him. And he's basically like, can you help me? And she's basically, I forget how she delivered it. But she was basically like, what's in it for me? And the guy was like, friendship. And then she was like, try again. And he was like, money? And then she was like, okay. Well, she said something that was like, it was like a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It was like, it was just funny though, as far as like her delivery of being a stone cold killer, but also being funny, unintentionally funny. So anyways, because Asu's not like a comedian. She's really a murderer. She's not to play with. Anyways, Jennifer English for Clara Obscura Expedition 33. I wish they said the characters they played. Konatsu Kato for Silent Hill F, because obviously I know who Erika played, I know who Konatsu played, and I know who Troy Baker played, because you know it's Indiana Jones. Which that was the last one, Troy Baker for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. So as far as best performance, it has to go to somebody from Expedition 33. And the thing about that, right, is that I don't want to spoil Expedition 33 for people who haven't played it. So what I'm going to say is, I'm going to go with Ben Starr for his performance. That's what I'm going to say. I think that doesn't spoil anything. But when you think of performances in general, now I'm broadening what I'm about to say. When you think of performances in general, sometimes when you look at somebody, let's put it in sports terms. When you look at somebody who has a phenomenal performance, right? But then it's just for like 5 games. You can't really make the all-star team off of 5 games, right? And then you look at somebody who kept it up for like 30, 40 games, basically up until the all-star break, he dropping 40. I think that specific person deserves it more over the other person. Anyways, let's go Ben Starr. So I'm going to choose Ben Starr. Shout out to him. I think his performance was phenomenal. Because I think he played the... it's hard not to spoil this game. I ain't going to cap to you. Anyways, his performance was great. Let me just put it like that. Best audio. That should show you how good the story is. I still want y'all to enjoy it for yourself. Like, if you want to hear my deep dive, I think I talked about it before. Let me see. Oh, no, I basically just talked about the sales and review roundup. I never really gave my whole sentiments because Quiet Escape, I played it off stream. You know, I played it a lot off stream. So I have a lot to say about this game as far as spoiler territory, but I'm not going to do that here. So now, best audio design, recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. So for that, I will go, as far as the list, we have Battlefield 6, Clara Obscura Expedition 33. We have Death Stranding 2, On the Beach. We have Ghost of Yote, and then we have Silent Hill F. I played every single game on this list. Except for Silent Hill F. I didn't play that one. Dang, that's crazy. Because Silent Hill F, I watched a lot. And from an audio perspective, it definitely seemed like it was top tier. But until you're playing a horror game, you really don't know how great the audio is. Like, when you're watching somebody, you don't have to pay attention to all the different elements, right? Because the thing about playing horror games is it plays off of you as far as your mistakes and where you go specifically, as far as, you know, building the suspense and basically raising your heart rate to scare you, right? They're trying to play off of what you're doing to scare you. Like, there was this one scenario where this player was doing something, right? And because they was doing something as far as messing with something, one of the enemies showed up in the back, but they was in like a shed or whatever. So they showed up outside the shed, right? And then so when you hear that and then you look around, he's right there, right? But then when you look back and you go to like the animation to get out of the shed and you go around, it's nowhere to be found. I'm telling you, that was some of the scariest stuff. Imagine playing that instead of just experience that. Because, you know, you as a viewer, you could just pause it and be like, I don't feel like watching that anymore. But the person who's playing is like, bro, where'd he go? So, yeah, Silent Hill F has a lot of those moments. Yeah, so as far as best audio design, that's tough. I mean, it could go to Death Stranding. I know y'all going to say, oh, Kojima, Jeff Keighley, you definitely going to give it to, but, you know, all jokes aside, I would say either, after all that, I may go with the game I didn't play. That's crazy. I'm going to say either Silent Hill F or Death Stranding should get best audio design. I do believe Death Stranding, from a technical aspect, is like the epitome of what we want in video games as far as it being optimized. It's just that the action, because remember, the only critiques I gave of it was when it was in best action, but the slash adventure makes it make sense, because the action, I'm not going to say is top tier. It's really, it's honestly mediocre, which is surprising because Kojima helped out with Metal Gear Solid with Solid Snake, right? So, well, not helped out. That's disrespectful. My fault. He created Solid Snake. Death Stranding 2, everything else besides the action is immaculate. But Silent Hill F, I think the action is better than Death Stranding 2. And everything else is also better. I'm gonna go with Silent Hill F. If you can't tell, I did like Silent Hill F. Like, games I don't play, I deep dive into the story. Shout out to Paulo on Twitch for following. Seems like y'all be liking these. Hold on now. Should I start streaming? Well, nah. I can't start streaming. This. The only reason I stream this early for people watching live is because I got stuff to do later this like entire week. So, yeah, you know, I had to get it. And I haven't streamed this whole week. But for people watching after the fact, you're probably like, get on with the list. Yeah, so I'm going to get on with the list. But, yeah, a little side tangent on my personal life. So, best audio design. I'm going to go with Silent Hill F. Yeah. I wouldn't be mad at any other games getting on this list. This is actually a pretty jam-packed list as far as the high-quality audio design. So I'm not mad. I wouldn't be mad at any game on this list getting it. But I'm going to go with Silent Hill F. So that being said, now we have best score in music. So for best score in music, I'm not even going to lie to you. Similar to what I was talking about with Kai Cenat, similar to what I was talking about with GTA 6 and their respective categories, it's the exact same with Exposition 33. I think I never really deep dive into a soundtrack like Expedition, like as far as putting it on my playlist. Like, it's, hold on now, yeah, I think I'm playing. Can I pull it up on here? I should be able to pull it up on here, right? Nah, because that's going to show. Let me see. I think because that's on my personal account, so I don't think I could pull it up on there. But anyways, let me pull up my, because you could do the exact same thing, because, you know, shameless plug, but it pertains to the list, right? So on my link tree, all the way at the bottom, I have this playlist. I know I have this link where it says what I've been listening to. And really, for me, I only listen to, like, music that came out in that specific year. So if you click that link at the bottom of my link tree, as far as what I'm listening to, you'll come across this playlist called Fresh Fire 2025, which is basically all the songs that I enjoyed in the year of 2025. You type in Expedition 33 and guess what? Lumiere pops up and Alicia pops up. Now, I say that to say this. I've never, in my measly 25 years on Earth, I've never added a game soundtrack to my playlist. When I tell you that this has music that I authentically and organically want to hear over and over, I never had that experience with any other game. The music in Expedition 33 is so good that I believe if they went on a tour, like a, you know, like Broadway shows, stuff like that, if they got like musicians to, or whoever constructed the soundtrack, right, to go on tour, I think it could sell out. If they market it right, as far as being like, these are the people who made the soundtrack for Expedition 33 and gave it the same type of marketing rollout that they did for the game, I think they could go on their own run as far as touring, right? That's how good I think the Expedition 33 music is. So I say all that to say, it's not close. best scoring music, I'm definitely picking Expedition 33. So with that being said, now we are at best art direction. So as far as best art direction, we have Clair Obscur Expedition 33. We have Death Stranding 2 on the beach. We have Ghost of Yote. We have Hades 2. And we have Hollow Knight Silksong. I don't know. I'm always conflicted about art and fantasy games because it's so limitless, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. Because if it's limitless and it's trash, you're like, bro, you had anything you could have made and you made this. But then when you knock it out of the park, like you do in Expedition 33, it's like, man, like you have no, like, as far as, remember when Spider-Man's random superhero nerd tangent, remember when Spider-Man and Captain America was fighting and Captain America threw his shield and Spider-Man was like, man, that shield does not obey the laws of physics at all. That's exactly how I was thinking playing the entire Expedition 33 game. You go throughout that entire game, seeing that everything's just masterfully crafted. And then you come to realize some of these places should not have the type of physics that it has. Because if the laws of gravity was actually real in this universe, it could not look like this. But of course, it's a fantasy game. So I say all that to say, best art direction probably has to go to Expedition 33. But I will say, I feel for developers that develop games like Ghost of Yote, because you're in such a realism type of place that you can make the most immaculate, realistic world and you can make the most immaculate, realistic, open world experience ever. But if a fantasy developer is also that talented as you, they can make an even better world because they don't have to be restricted to the realism. Like, nobody's going to complain that there's a whole city upside down in Expedition 33. And if there was a whole city upside down in Ghost of Yote, realists would come out and be like, this is never what Japan looked like. I don't even know why they would depict Japan like this and call themselves a realistic game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're realistically interpreting Japan, you can't have upside down cities. Right? And for Expedition 33, it's just fantastic. I'm not gonna cap to you. So best art direction has to go to Expedition 33. But I feel for people who have to make realistic worlds and they knock it out of the park. Because people who don't have the limitations of having to make a realistic world, they end up making, and if they're talented, they end up making worlds like Expedition 33. So for best art direction, I have to go to Expedition 33. So that being said, now we have best narrative. Now, as far as best narrative, we have Clair Obscur Expedition 33. We have Death Stranding 2 on the beach. We have Ghost of Yote. We have Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. We have Silent Hill F. Now, best narrative. I'm trying to think. Do I know every single narrative? I know every narrative except for Kingdom Come and Death Stranding 2. I did play Death Stranding 2, but obviously it wasn't my cup of tea. I didn't make it to the end. Honestly, I don't know if it's a hot take. Why is Ghost of Yote on here? I mean, it's basically just a revenge story. Now, it wasn't like, because revenge stories could be made well, but if it's a revenge story that does it at a mediocre to a serviceable level, like the story, I don't think was the best part of Ghost of Yote. It was definitely the gameplay in the setting. So the story, I think, was serviceable, but it wasn't knocking anything out of the park to the point where I'm surprised it's even on this list. Silent Hill F, some would critique it for having to play it multiple times to get the real overall narrative, like the arching narrative. As far as the game can only be understood if you play it multiple times. I'm not going to spoil anything, but that's what a lot of people complained about. If you play the game, you know what I'm talking about. Let's just say there's multiple endings. Let's just put it like that. But yeah, that's as far as I'm gonna go with it. But as far as Expedition 33, some could say is a revenge story technically, but then I think you'll be missing a lot of what the game was trying to teach you. It was just so many themes that doesn't hold your hand. You really have to figure it out. And once you figure it out, it's kind of like in the comedian world, it's like telling a joke and not explaining it. I think that's what Clair Obscur, I say the full name. That's what Expedition 33 does so well. They drop a lot of gems, but then they leave it to you to pick up. Like a lot of the archives, as far as the past expeditioners that you read what they have to say, and you just start to put the puzzle pieces together. And then the overarching story that happens, I'm not going to spoil it. And then the continuation of that overarching story to the split of choosing a side. It's very interesting on how they deliver that story. So you could say it's your typical revenge story, but it's really not. It's way deeper. Yeah, Expedition 33 is probably going to win this. I'm not going to lie to you. So best narrative to me is going to go to Expedition 33. So now we have best game direction. Now we're getting to the last two categories. And with that being said, drop a bomb for Split Fiction actually making one of the top two categories. I'm still mad that Split Fiction is not on Game of the Year list, but you know, it's okay. You know, I'm gonna put my biasness to the side, which I don't even think is biasness. Like to me, Split Fiction was my favorite game of the year. But to others, somehow it doesn't even make the Game of the Year nominee list. Kind of crazy. Anyways, best game direction. Clair Obscur Expedition 33, Death Stranding 2 on the Beach, Ghost of Yotei, Hades 2, Split Fiction. Now, as far as best game direction, the story of Split Fiction, when they're in the worlds, the digital worlds, that game direction, very unique. Do I have to keep saying I'm not going to spoil anything? I don't know. The human stories of Zoe and Mia. I think that was the name, right? The real stories of Zoe and Mia, as far as the human world, I think was lackluster. But I think it gave us the excuse to have a unique game direction in the digital world, if that makes sense. So, overall, it's very interesting how Expedition 33 actually gives us the same excuse to be in that specific world when you think about the overarching story. And I just think, even though I do say Split Fiction is my favorite game of the year, from a story aspect and from the game direction, quiet is kept. Expedition 33 kind of does what Split Fiction does, but in a much better way as far as the game direction. Because you're in a world. Yeah, if I keep explaining that, somebody's going to get spoiled. But for people who play Split Fiction, for people who play Expedition 33, you know what I'm getting at. Expedition did what Split Fiction does. They just wasn't so upfront about it as far as... Yeah, they wasn't as upfront about it. Y'all get what I'm saying for the people who play the games. So... Dang, that's crazy. I talked all this stuff about Split Fiction not being on. Well, really, I still think Expedition 33 is a great game. But for me personally, like I said, I'm a little biased. I played it with my cousin. I'm a sucker for platformers. So to me, Split Fiction was still my favorite game of the year. But I will say the game direction, just looking at it from like objectively, like what do you think? Well, I guess it is subjective still. But as far as the game direction, I think Clair Obscur Expedition 33, it's just... Yeah, Expedition 33 is really, it's really a fantastic game from like all intents and purposes. It's really, I'm not going to say like once in a generation because we do have Elden Ring, but it's one of the better games we've received in like the last 3 to 5 years. Like last year, Expedition would have wiped the floor with all those games. Not going to lie to you. And I love, what was it, Baldur's Gate 3. I love Astrobot. But it's just on a whole different level. Game of the year. Oh, I'm tripping. Yeah. So the ultimate list, right? Game of the year. This is the big award that everybody loves to walk away with. especially being acknowledged for your contributions to the gaming industry. So Game of the Year for 2025, which, you know, the definition is recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. We have Hollow Knight Silksong. We have Hades 2. Donkey Kong Bonanza. Death Stranding 2 on the beach. And then the one and only, the iconic, the epitome of gaming.
Shepherd.
All right, my fault. Y'all get the point. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 to end off the list. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if y'all was a thinking man or woman, you already know where I'm going to go. And let's just say, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, got to kill the suspense because there's really no conversation that we had. Expedition 33 is really one of the best games we've received in the past 5 years. And it's to the point where some people would be like, oh, y'all overhyping it. The game can't be that good. Until you dive into the game and realize that game is really that good. From the music to the narrative to the gameplay aspect, adding a unique feature to turn-based mechanics that invites people who don't usually play turn-based games, right? And invites them into a point where, hold up now, I'm actually enjoying a turn-based game and I'm having hands-on experience with it as far as being able to dodge, being able to counter. So it's not just a monotony of choosing what you want to do every single turn, right? There's a lot of interactive parts that makes you feel like you're actually doing and you're actually fighting. Expedition 33 is one of the greatest games I've seen in quite some time. I'll probably put it up there with Elden Ring as far as the boss factor and being able to work around it. Like, there's a lot of bosses in this specific game, but shout out to Simon. I think it's probably one of the more broken games, one of the most broken bosses we've ever seen in gaming history. If y'all think Radahn is hard, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's probably a real conversation on if, like not even millennia. Like, I would say the deluxe edition of Elden Ring, Radahn was way harder than millennia, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Hey, that's just me. But, cause you know, I play a lot of these games off stream. Like, sometimes I edit a lot, but, you know, nowadays, sometimes I get time to play our games on my own. So when it comes to that, I would say from my personal experience and from watching others, I would have to say Simon is harder. I know y'all probably be like, spoiler alert, but these are both optional bosses, except for Radahn. Radahn is like the ultimate boss of Elden Ring Deluxe, and that game's been out for a minute. So as far as Simon, he's an optional boss, and you don't even know when you're going to encounter him. Simon may be one of the hardest bosses of all time in video game history. And no, that's not the reason I chose this for Game of the Year. I just wanted to bring that up as one of the other parts as far as the epitome of what gaming experience is. For the music, for the narrative, for the gameplay, for the bosses to be at the levels that they are, I think it's a masterpiece as far as a video game offering. Expedition 33 is one of the greatest games I've ever seen, ever played, ever heard, like to the point where I told y'all about the soundtrack. So without further ado, Expedition 33 is what I'm picking for Game of the Year, because unfortunately, Split Fiction did not make the list.
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
Because ignorantly, I would have chose Split Fiction just to, you know, because that was my personal favorite game of the year. I know I probably would have went to, like, I would have literally said, personally, I'm picking Split Fiction, but it has to go to Expedition because, you know, well, no, I would have voted for Split Fiction, but I would have said it was going to go to Expedition 33. But because Split Fiction is not even on the list, I can't even vote for Split Fiction. I was like, hold on now. I'm out here trying to vote, and they took my game off of the nominee list. Like, what in the world?
Shepard, just look at the state of gaming. Like, what is going on?
I look at the state of gaming. I'm like, in what world is Split Fiction not on the Game of the Year nominee list? And look at it. Like, it's just makes me sick to my stomach. Just makes me sick to my stomach.
You guys. See, that's the problem.
So that being said, that has been the full breakdown of the Game Awards. Once again, we voted 29-29, as you can see right here. I don't know if I could bring up all of them, but as you can see, your boy out here voting. Drop a bomb. Actually, clap it up for me voting. Yes, sir. Voting in the gaming world and in the real world. So, let me see. What else? Did they show me the comprehensive list or no? Download my vote card. Oh, I get a vote card. Hold on now. What that vote card going to look like? Okay. What my vote card look like? Oh, that's fire. That's fire. No, that's actually pretty fire. I like that. It went away. Nah, that's tough. That's tough. Hold on now. I get my own vote card. Nah, that's actually kind of, I remember this from last year. Maybe I just didn't pay attention. I don't remember this from last year. That's crazy. See your boy Kaisen that right there, the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Best content creator by far, not even close. But let me see. What else? How do I move this around? I don't know how to move this around. Oh, there we go. There we go. All right, so game of the year. I'm not gonna read all this off. Actually, should I read all this off? I might as well. We already at the end. And it's been long, so you know what I'm saying? Might as well pause.
You guys. See, that's the problem.
So if y'all was wanting a comprehensive list of what we chose throughout the entire list, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna make it suspenseful and work our way up to the top. As you can see, watch December 11th to see who wins. But I'm not gonna lie, I ain't reading all this off. Y'all see the list. Hey, pause and take a picture. Y'all see what I voted for. Hey, Clara Obscura is all throughout this list. Safe to say they definitely deserved a lot of their nominations. And did I choose them to win every single category they was in? I may have done that. That's crazy. That is actually kind of wild. So, my voting card, ladies and gentlemen, as you see, your boy voted. Yes, sir. So, with that being said, now that we've finalized the voting process of the Game Awards that's set to happen December 11th, and to get this specific time once more, it's set to happen December 11th, 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and a pre-show. It's set to happen at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time, and it's happening on YouTube, Twitch, I think Amazon Prime Video, which is a new addition. So I'm not, you know, don't quote me on that, but I think it's set to happen on Amazon Prime Video as well. So with that being said, hopefully you enjoyed my voting process and me breaking down why I voted for what I voted for. And with that being said, click my link tree in my bio. Let me know on one of my social medias. What do you think about the Game Awards nominees, and what is your specific game of the year for the Game Awards show that's set to happen December 11th?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.